Yes, welcome to the NBA panel. I'm your host, John Weatherstone. Today I'm honored to be joined by the one and only Emmy Award-winning Entertainment Tonight host, Kevin Frazier. Kevin, what's going on?
John, thanks for having me on, man. Good to talk to you.
Great to talk to you, too. You had a great platform. You've been there since 2004 at CBS. Tell us about your time there. You had a massive platform. You're doing a wonderful job.
Yeah, you know, I left ESPN to come here, and when I, I never thought that I would end up doing entertainment, but it has been something that, you know, I've enjoyed. It is very interesting when you cross over from what is men's sports to what is women's sports, the entertainment world. But being here has been great. The places I've gotten to go, the things I've gotten to do, and also, I mean, you know, keep my hand in the sports world. Often I have looked up and I've been places and I've been like, wow, how did I get here? From being on the red carpet at the Oscars to, you know, being halfway around the world covering a movie premiere to, some of the most famous moments in history. And you find yourself stuck in the middle of those moments and you're like, it's unreal. It's surreal.
Wow, you're doing a wonderful job. Wonderful job. You're also a creator on Talk About Hip Hop Hollywood, which you created in 2008, and how it feels to have your brainchild grow into something massive. Because I know with me, the NBA panel, I love everything I do every time it grows. I know I made the right decision.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that because we all have these dreams. And, you know, listen, Hip Hollywood came out of a dream that I wanted to see, being in the entertainment business, working here at Entertainment Tonight, I wanted to make sure that African-American artists were getting covered as well as the mainstream artists out there. And that, you know, a lot of times the urban space was overlooked. And, you know, E.T. covers the biggest stars in the world, black, white, red, blue, yellow, whatever, it doesn't matter. But there are still a lot of things that may appeal to me or may be different, you know, that may not be on E.T., may not make it to E.T., that I think are worthy of talking about and reporting. And so that is where Hip Hollywood started, and it has been, a great ride with it. The people that have worked there and the people that continue to work there have been fantastic. And, you know, it's great to tell people's stories, and that's what it's all about.
Yes. What do you like most about hosting? I know myself, I love networking, meeting new people as yourself, connecting with great people as yourself. I mean, I'm always a sponge. I always say all the time, if you're the smartest one in the room, you're in the wrong room. Every guest I have on, I learn from every episode.
You know, what I think the thing for me is that I love storytelling. I started out as a cameraman in a small station in Charleston, South Carolina, and that job made me fall in love with the news. The journalistic side of it is chasing news, following news, writing, shooting, putting that stuff together. So I love the process of telling stories and bringing those stories to fruition. And so this is really just a connection of that. Now I do more interviews than I do cutting the stories, but still you're telling people's stories. And also learning how to – people don't understand it. When you're interviewing someone, you want to hear what they have to say, not what you have to say.
Right.
So there's an art that, is always a work in progress that you're learning how to get the most out of a moment from people. Not for you to tell them what you think, but to hear what they think and have to say.
Right. Tell us about some of the great guests you've met and interviewed. I know for myself, I interviewed a great Bob Costas, Ice Cube, today yourself, just to name a few. I know you've interviewed a lot of great personalities.
I mean, you know, it also kind of goes back to being in incredible places at incredible times. I was looking at a picture that Will Smith posted on Instagram the other day. And it was Will and Sidney Poitier talking, and I can't remember what event it was at, but there I am standing in the background. From Barack Obama to, you know, the Flavor Flav. From the Oscar red carpet to, a small island in talking to, different kinds of stars in different places. It is always, I'm always fascinated by who I am in proximity to. Today, I just talked to Denzel Washington,
Wow.
greatest of all time. But, you know, at the same time, then I walk out on the stage and get a reunion of the TV cast from the show Fame. So it's, listen, I always appreciate the places and the people the show puts me in front of. And it's never taken for granted. And there are a lot of days where I'm like, wow, I wish I could go back and tell the high school me.
Right.
What I would be doing one day. I was at an event and I was interviewing Lisa Leeson Cult Jam.
Okay.
And I was like, wow, I wish I could go back and tell college me I'd be standing here with Lisa Leeson one day.
Wow. Man, you had a great career, great career. I'm sure it's not work, because you know if you love what you do, it's never work.
Exactly. We're just saying that. We were just talking about how, you know, you got to get up every morning and you have to be energized. And if you're not
right.
energized, then find something new to do. And if you're not doing what you want to do, then at least be energized until you can get there. And,
right.
You know, every day I still wake up excited to get to work, excited to hop on our meetings and do other things. So I'm lucky. I love what I do.
I want to talk about the great Betty White for a second. One person you got to know. I've never met her or talked to her, but when she passed, I felt it. You know, some people pass away, you just know they're a genuine person and a legacy left on the world. I mean, you just know they're a good person. And everyone knows the theme song. When the theme song come on, the Golden Girls, you know what it is, yes.
You know, the thing about Betty, and it's interesting because the first time they sent me to interview Betty, when I first got to E.T., I was like, oh, she's a little older. I'm probably going to have to talk slow and be loud. And really, it was Betty who was taking care of me. You know, she was like, are you comfortable? Are you ready? It was late at night. We were downtown, and Betty had just finished a full day of work, and she was still full of energy. We did an interview inside her trailer, and I was just like, I'm like, wow, not only is this woman full of energy, but she's so quick-witted and fast. And she always appreciated you being there as much as you appreciated her being there. She appreciated you coming to talk to her. And she was just the ultimate professional. And it's something that I can't stress enough. You see these people who get in this business, and I see it with a lot of influencers or people on their way up, and they're just – they feel like they're just too damn big to talk to anybody, or they feel like, you know, oh, this is my time. I'm so over these interviews and stuff like that. And I'm
right.
And I look at a pro. The pros, they're always excited to talk because they realize that you're telling their story, and they they want to expand their story. And that was the thing about Betty White. She always was excited to talk, and that's what I always appreciate her. I've never seen her like, ooh, Betty's exhausted today, you know. And this is well into her 90s when I kept interviewing her. She always had that energy.
Yeah. Inside the NBA, I mean, that's my favorite show in the world. And I love the basketball of the NBA. How's it feeling there for Ernie and working with that great cast?
Well, first of all, I mean, to be able to sit on that set with those guys is a blessing. You look around and you're like, and you sit there and, you know, the first time I ever sat there, I'm looking at them like, how many nights have I sat up late at night in my living room just sitting here laughing my butt off at these fools? And then also, this is the beauty of it. You know, I got to cover Shaq during his entire run in L.A. I was working for Fox Sports at the time.
Right.
He is one of my favorite athletes that I've ever covered, and he's one of the people I genuinely got to hang out with, one of the few that I did hang out with. He is one of the smartest. This is what people need to understand.
Right.
Dude's a genius. That's why he's one of the biggest endorsers in the entire free world. He's a genius.
Yeah.
But getting to be around him and hang out and watch and listen and learn, that was something. So I already had that relationship with Shaq. And then Charles, I'll never forget when I was working at Fox, I was covering the NBA Finals. He had just retired, and he was walking with Bob Costas, and he grabbed me by the arm, and he's like, hey, you're doing a good job. Just remember that. You're doing a good job. And it just meant so much because I'm like, here I am. You know, we're doing a sports show on Fox, Sportsnet, and you hope people are watching. You hope people appreciate what you're doing. And then Charles Barkley grabs you by the arm and says, you're doing a good job. And from there, I've had many a night to hang out with Charles and go places. So, and then Kenny, the same deal. I covered Kenny, played. So all these guys I have a relationship with. So there
was
the camaraderie of that. But what it is it's the greatest sports show in the history of television. They're the best group ever. And Ernie is a is an integral part of that. So for Ernie to let me sit in his seat for a night, it's unbelievable. But, yeah, I have so much respect for those guys. I love what they do. And even if I'm not – when I'm not there, I'm watching the show anyway. So it was every time I get to go there, it is a magical experience. And to look over at those folks and just be like, damn, I'm sitting here with them.
Yes. And I saw that Race of the Board. You beat Kenny and Candace fair and square. Kenny beat you sometimes.
Fair and square.
He beat Terry and Candace.
I beat him fair and square. And let me tell you, so the first time I went there, I did Kenny beat just took off, and I was sitting in my seat. He was like, oh, you didn't even move. Oh, okay. And so I was like, okay, this time I'm ready. And he saw that I was ready,
right.
to go. And so in the first game of the doubleheader, I was ready. And as soon as he went and tried to get – I was gone. And then Candace tried to cover the back side, and it was too late. I actually jumped over the last two steps to get there and beat him by hand. And by the way, the Jets still has some Jets. It may be half a Jet, but he still has some Jets. And it was something to beat him. So the next half, when we were in the show, I'm sitting there, I'm waiting, I'm ready to go, and I get up, and I start walking with Kenny. I'm like, he's not going to sucker me. And then he points over to me and says, oh, you know, you're going to look at Shaq. And I turn and look at Shaq. He takes off running and beats me. So I'm like, okay. But he had done the same thing to Jamal Crawford, so I didn't feel that. He suckered Jamal Crawford, too.
I had the pleasure of visiting on TNT Studios a while ago, and it was a great experience. I can't wait to go back again. I mean, just the campus is like it's like a big family over here. So you walk
and
on.
You know, it's beautiful, and it is it's a family there, and the people behind the scenes are the best.
Yes.
That crew, and that's another thing why that show is so good. It's all the people there, and you talk about people who come to work energized and in the pursuit of excellence. And that's what you see behind the scenes there. And that's another thing I love about there. I've had a chance that when I've been in Atlanta, I've had a chance to go by and visit and sit and watch. And I've watched and I've just been like, man, this place is so amazing. It's so cool.
Yes.
And so now it's like, it really is a weird dream come true.
Well, he got a wonderful job, a wonderful career. Definitely do. What advice could you give someone on if they end up being a host? Advice you can give myself. As I said, I'm always willing to learn.
I mean, I think it's about the preparation that you are always prepared for a moment, for an interview. The amount of preparation and studying and things we digest, I don't think people really take in the hand. We're not just going out there slinging it and winging it. We are preparing. And so, just sitting down with the cast of Fame, I watched the movie again. I read everything I could. I watched as many interviews as I could just to understand what, so I could ask them smart and intelligent questions. The more information you have, the better your interview will be. And I think that's an important thing that people think it's like, people come out and ask you, oh, what about when you did this or what about when you did that?
Yeah.
Everybody's asking those questions. How are you separating yourself by going that extra mile and really really making it an interview or a moment that is memorable.
Right. I also noticed that you have to be ready at all times because you never know when your guest is going to be ready. They might say 5 p.m. Eastern time, something might happen. You have to rearrange the interview because you have to stay ready at all times because you never know.
Well, it's not only being ready at all times, it's being prepared at all
times.
You know, it's like, there are times that I have thought I was ready for this job or that job or to do this.
Right.
But I wasn't. I was ready in my mind, but I wasn't prepared. And that's the important thing is, like, once again, it goes back to be prepared. Not ready, but prepared. And you will always have that moment. And you know, I think people think that this business is just like, well, let's get on and just talk. If someone is giving you time, they are giving you the gift of their time because time is the one thing you can't get
back.
Even if you're right, even if you could be paying them for the time, but you never get the time back. Respect their time. Be ready and prepared when you sit down in front of them, and don't waste their time.
Definitely. Can you go back, take us back to the first time you fell in love with the NBA? You've been covering NBA previously before you went to CBS.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so the first time I really fell in love with the NBA was when I was a kid. My dad was a basketball coach, and he was an assistant for the Knicks when Willis Reed was the head coach. And so I used to go to the games in the Garden. We lived in Maryland still at the time, and he didn't want to move the family. So we would ride the train up in the Garden, and then we'd ride the train up from Maryland to the Garden, and then we'd go upstairs to his office and drop our stuff off and then go down into the Garden. And so it was cool because during that time, I for the first time really got to understand behind the scenes of the NBA. My father was a college coach. I would go to lots of games, and he had friends who are professional coaches. But I never was really that integrated into the scene. But when he was with the Knicks, I got to go to practice. I got to ride the bus with the team. You know, I'll never forget, I traveled with the team from New York to New Jersey when they were playing the Nets, when the Nets were still in New Jersey, and Phil Jackson was on the team. And my father and the team arrived. We arrived a little early, and everybody was sitting out in the bleachers, you know, in the empty stadium. And Phil Jackson pulled out a cigar and started smoking a cigar. And I was like 9, maybe 10, and I couldn't believe it. And I'm grabbing my father's arm and I'm like, "You got to stop him. He's smoking a cigar." My father's like, "They're professional, sir. They can do whatever the hell they want to do. They are paid professionals. They just have to be ready when the time comes." And so, you know, that watching that and being around that experience, those great teams, and I learned how to fish at Willis Reed's house during the preseason the first year my dad was hired by the Knicks, and being at Willis's house and you know, he took me out on the lake and taught me how to fish. But it's really when I learned how to love the NBA, because during that time, and then after that, my best friend, he was a cousin of Dr. J's wife, and so we used to drive to watch the Sixers play too. And that's when, you know, they had Daryl Dawkins and Jelly Bean Bryant and Mo Cheeks and all those teams. We used to go up and watch those teams, and so that's when I really fell in love with the NBA, and I always loved it. After that, I loved the game.
What's your thoughts on this NBA season? I mean, COVID has tried to come back and mess up again, but the league is doing a great job, and 10-day contracts are carrying the league right now. But we got great players like Mario Chalmers, Lance Stevenson back in the league, especially Lance Indiana. That's a great fit. I think it's on him for the rest of the season. Yes.
How about Lance? I mean, this is what's fascinating about Lance is that, you know, there were moments in his career where it was like, was he more of a player or was he more of a joker, you know? You're like, "Lance, come on, man. You have the pedigree." Because people forget about how, like, highly regarded Lance was in high school. I mean, everybody's talking about him. And so, you know, I'm glad to see a guy like Lance get a second chance. He lit it up last week. And so I just think that there are so many talented basketball players, and that's what people forget. When you're a kid and you're practicing at home and you think, "Well, I'm the best guy in my neighborhood," and then there's a million other neighborhoods around the world, and there's a million other kids dreaming the same dream. And it's such a select group that get to that level, and they are such highly skilled professionals. So I do love the fact that these guys are getting – all these guys are getting a chance that would have probably never gotten a chance. But I also think it's tough the way the NBA is it's being handled, because one day you're playing with a bunch of guys on 10-day contracts. The next day you're playing with the starters. And it's also a tough sell for the fans, because the tickets haven't gotten any cheaper. It does, you know, superstars aren't playing, but the tickets aren't any cheaper. So I think that's a hard thing. I was a Lakers season ticket holder for a long time. And if I'm not going, my wife is looking at me sideways.
We recently had the return of Klay Thompson. Great for the league, great for everyone, especially Golden State. They were really dangerous without him. I mean, they're leading, well, they're tied with the Suns right now in the West. But once you get the feedback on them and become that defensive presence you were, going to take me a whole problem from the 21.
Well, first of all, I was so excited to see Klay back. And you could see the excitement when you watched him that day when he even came out to warm up.
Right.
The excitement. And it wasn't just Clay. It was all his teammates that were so excited. Draymond and Steph and everybody. And the way the crowd welcomed him back and all the jerseys and the people sitting courtside. And then
yes.
he hit that three. And then he had that dunk. And
yes.
it was like it was a storybook moment. And so I don't – what we don't remember or what we seem to forget very quickly is how long it takes to come back.
Yes.
So we aren't ever – we aren't with those players when they're going to those rehab centers, when they're sitting at home and they're icing or they have
right.
their foot or their knee in a cast and all the moments it takes to rehab your way back and all the moments of self-doubt, wondering if
right.
you'll ever be able to play at the level you were playing at because Clay was one of the top players in the league.
Right.
But they play such a beautiful brand of basketball at Golden State. Kudos
yes,
to Steve Kerr. Kudos to Bob Myers. Kudos to Steph and the culture there. And so I just think that getting him back makes them a real favorite. I can't wait to see them against Phoenix down the stretch. It
yes.
would be, I mean, that could be a dogfight of all of epic proportions down the stretch.
Yeah, they got their hands full with with the Grizzlies tonight, so we'll see how that works out. John Morant is balling right now.
listen, John Morant, and let's just take it back for a second, okay? Let's just go back to the fact that everybody's looking at Zion, and there's this other kid on his team.
Yeah,
and just going all the way back to their AU in South Carolina, you're thinking Zion is the top player in the country, and then there's this other kid who's pretty good on his team.
Right.
But when all is said and done, it could be flip-flop that Ja ends up being the one who made the bigger mark.
Very
and
true.
By the way, that block he had, oh, my
yes.
God.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Halliburton somebody had rockets in his cast.
Oh, he's
crazy.
Different. And you know what I want
yes.
to worry about? I worry about that kind of explosiveness, what it does to your joints, and the D. Rose effect. Because D. Rose could bounce like that.
Yes.
And it was all that torque, which is too damn much.
Crazy. Kevin, thank you so much for your time. You got a busy day still ahead of you. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, John. And listen, keep doing your thing, man, and keep it going, all right?
Definitely. Nonstop process. Appreciate you, Kevin. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thanks, John. I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir.
All right. Yes. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yes, that's Emmy Award-winning entertainment tonight host, Kevin Frazier. Thanks for joining me. Catch you next time.